Isaiah, the chapter 5, and we're going to read from the verse 18 of that chapter 5 of Isaiah. The verse 18, my subject tonight, is entitled, Calling Good, Evil. Let's read from verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And we will end our reading of God's word at that verse, knowing the Lord will bless his truth to our hearts. Particularly, let us notice the words of the prophet Isaiah as set forth in the verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. It is a dangerous thing to confuse good and evil. A dangerous thing to put it forth that an evil thing is good, and that a good thing is evil. We must ever be very careful of how we speak, and how we measure, and how we judge, and how we evaluate things. We must never sanction that which is wrong, that which has been condemned by God. And we must never condemn that which, on the other hand, God speaks well of. My subject tonight was prompted by a statement uttered by Dr. Paisley in the very recent past, within the week that's passed. I still find it very difficult, after all the events that have taken place in Northern Ireland over the last 18 months, to say anything critical concerning him, his words, or his actions. But there are times when it is necessary to set aside your own feelings, and no matter how heavy your heart may be, to be faithful to the Lord and proclaim his truth. And this is just one such occasion. The recent statement that I referred to by Dr. Paisley was one in which he said that Sinn Féin's threat to refuse to nominate a deputy first minister was an evil thing. Now, I believe that that statement by Dr. Paisley was most unwise and very wrong, and very wrong. The action to which he was referring, the refusing of Sinn Féin to put forth a name, or the possible refusal by Sinn Féin to put forth a name of their nominee for the office of Deputy First Minister, at the time when Dr. Paisley was standing down from the office of First Minister and the new leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, Mr. Peter Robison, would be nominated to take Dr. Paisley's position and become now the new First Minister would have resulted in a situation whereby the present Democratic Unionist Party, Sinn Féin IRA, power-sharing government would have come to an end. The office of Deputy First Minister, having no nomination, would result in the one nominated as First Minister being refused that position because the two go together. So there could be no progress, there could be no going on with the present government if Sinn Féin acted as it was alleged they were seriously thinking of acting. And then the government in Stormont would have come to an end, and if talks that would have to follow such a situation could not resolve the problem, then the Northern Ireland Secretary of State would have to close down the present government and call for fresh elections. Now, when Dr. Paisley was interviewed shortly after the setting up of the Stormont power-sharing government, that's back at this time last year, and in that government, as you remember, he was the First Minister and IRA leader Martin McGuinness was the Deputy First Minister. In that interview that I'm thinking of, Dr. Paisley was asked if he believed his action in joining with Sinn Féin, the IRA, in government was God's will. His answer was most telling. For he said, "I hope so. I hope so. Concerning the will of God, I have never heard Dr. Paisley say such a thing before. He was always sure and spoke very positively and most confidently as to what was the will of God. But on this occasion, he was only able to say, I hope it is the will of God." Now, from that position of uncertainty, it would appear that Dr. Paisley has moved to a position in which he views any threat to that government, which a year ago he hoped was in the will of God, he's moved to the position where he believes that any threat to that government would be a positively evil thing. I have no doubt that observant, discerning Christians in Ulster have been saddened by this recent statement by Dr. Paisley and consider it very regrettable indeed. The fall of a government which is composed partly of unrepentant murderers and partly of those who broke their own promises to their electorate never to enter government with unrepentant murderers, the fall of such a government cannot positively or possibly be looked upon as an evil thing by any lover of righteousness. The Democratic Unionist Party's justification for going back on their promises to their electorate and entering government with Sinn Féin IRA is basically twofold. They first of all claim that they were forced into this coalition with Sinn Féin IRA when faced by a threat by London and Dublin to impose a political settlement upon Northern Ireland should they fail to form a government, and that settlement amounted to joint rule and would, the Democratic spokesmen have told us, have resulted very soon in the United Ireland under Dublin. It would have been, and here we quote Dr. Paisley himself, it would have been curtains for Northern Ireland had the DUP not entered a coalition, yielded to this blackmail, and set up a government with Sinn Féin. They had no alternative, they say, in the face of such coercion. That's one argument justifying the setting up of a power-sharing government with Sinn Féin IRA. But on the other hand, when explaining their actions on a different day, they tell us that coalition with Sinn Féin was a very right thing and a very proper thing, because Sinn Féin IRA had indicated a new attitude toward the police and toward the judiciary, and had also disarmed their terrorist wing. Therefore, it was very proper for the DUP to enter a power-sharing arrangement with this changed, this altered Sinn Féin IRA. Now, both of these explanations are on record. They have been repeatedly proffered to the public. But only one of them can possibly be true, since they are contradictory. They can't both be true. One makes a lie of the other. If the DUP had to be forced into a coalition, then Sinn Féin mustn't have changed. Because if they had changed, what was the need to force them? If the time was right to set up a power-sharing government with Sinn Féin, why was it necessary for London and Dublin to force the bringing about of such a coalition? The truth of the matter is that neither of those explanations are true. There is no moral justification for the actions of the Democratic Unionist Party. And in an attempt to persuade their people and their supporters that there is some measure of justification for their action, the Democratic Unionist Party has had to resort to subterfuge and deceit. They have had to try and bluff their people. Now, Sinn Féin IRA, far from repenting and repudiating their years of terrorism and murder, have continued to glory in that campaign, which brought them to power. They have hailed those who maimed and murdered, who robbed and terrorized for some 30 years. They have hailed those engaged in that activity as heroes to be honoured and commemorated. We had an example of the honour paid to such individuals recently at the funeral of the leading IRA murderer, Brian Keenan. Gerry Adams, the president of Sinn Féin IRA, saluted him as a great man who served a noble cause. But Keenan was, in fact, a leading exponent of murder and had been for many, many years. He went into eternity with the blood of many innocent victims upon his hands. The fact that he should be hailed by Sinn Féin and by its supporters as a hero indicates that far from changing their views, Sinn Féin IRA remains a party of murder and terror. One IRA member said that Keenan was really the John the Baptist to Gerry Adams's Christ, an unsavoury illustration of the relationship between the two men within the Republican movement. I feel where I asked, I would say it was more a case of the false prophet and the Antichrist. But it shows the close relationship there was between the two men. The close relationship between Sinn Féin and the IRA murder campaign. Any regime, any government, which is composed of those who gained their political standing by murder and terrorism, and those composed of individuals who entered that regime by trampling upon their solemn promises to their supporters to never enter a government with Sinn Féin, is not a good and a just and a righteous government to be upheld and to be honoured. Rather, it is, I believe, an abomination in the sight of God. Dr. Paisley is wrong to call the demise of the present power-sharing government an evil thing. If it is an evil thing, then I have to say, how much more evil was Dr. Paisley's own actions in opposing the much more democratic and the much more upright governments of Terence O'Neill and many other Stormont leaders, right up until David Trimble. I need hardly say I have no sympathy for O'Neill or the succeeding leaders of the Unionist Party that he led. I have no sympathy for them and their ecumenism. But I feel it right to say that they were a lot more honourable than Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness. And any government that they headed was a lot more upright than any government in which Martin McGuinness plays a leading role. And if it's evil, therefore, to bring down a government involving Martin McGuinness, how much more evil it would be to bring down a government headed by the likes of Terence O'Neill. And yet, Dr. Paisley, of course, did oppose O'Neill and did bring about his political demise. The truth is that those who opposed Terence O'Neill back in the 60s would be acting most consistently and uprightly were they to be found opposing the present power-sharing executive in Stormont. Sadly, all too many of them have repudiated, rejected, thrown over their former views, and now uphold that which they once deemed to be evil. That which they believed was righteous, that is, the destroying of a government and a regime that was headed by a Terence O'Neill, they now consider to be evil when an attempt is made to pull down the iniquitous government that presently exists in Stormont. The continuation of the present Stormont administration surely is something over which God's people should mourn and lament. We should be praying for it to be brought to an end, because it is an affront to righteousness. Tonight, I want to ask the question, what is evil? It is an important question. The text that I have set before you clearly indicates how important a question it is. What is evil? Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. It is important that you and I know how to distinguish between that which is good and that which is evil, and not at any time confuse them. Otherwise, we bring upon our head the woe that God utters in this text. If we call that which is evil good, we bring God's woe upon our hands. If we call that which is evil good, we bring that woe, and if we call that which is good evil, we likewise bring God's woe upon our head. Therefore, it is important for you and for me to know the difference and to be able to distinguish the two. That's because of God's view of evil. The view that God has of evil makes it important for you and I to share his view and not find ourselves embracing a contrary view. One of the first times the word evil appears in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 6, where you have the record of the world in the day of Noah and its descent into great sin. In verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, if you read on through that chapter, you will discover that what God saw of men's actions, these evil actions, was a source of grief and vexation and anger. And it brought in God's judgment upon the world. Now, if I form a wrong view about evil, I'm going to find myself on the wrong side of God's anger. If I take pleasure in that which angers God, that brings about a most fearful situation between me and God. Oh, it's important, I tell you, that we understand the difference between good and evil. For we could make a very tragic mistake and bring God's judgment upon our hands. Because also of the fact that evil thinking and evil planning in these days marks the advance of anti-Christianity, makes this an important question. The Word of God tells us that the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of wickedness, the spirit of evil, is already at work in this world. Prophecy tells us that the workings of this rebellious
spirit is going to progress and accelerate more and more toward the close of this age. And we find many warnings given us of the Savior to beware of this movement of evil, this movement of wickedness. We are given very clear descriptions of the nature of this evil, this wickedness, that we might avoid it. Now, if we make a mistake about what is good and what is evil, we can very easily find ourselves caught up in the workings of Antichrist in these evil times. Let me remind you of what are familiar words given by the Apostle Paul when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous, dreadful, hellish times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. If anything may be summed up by one word of all that is here said, then the word is evil. Paul is warning of evil times to come. And he gives the mark, the trend, the development, the characteristics of these evil times. And then he says, there in the verse 5 at the end of it, from such turn away. Have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it. So if you're going to obey God in these times, then you have got to find out, identify the workings of evil in the midst of society today, and have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it. I would suggest to you that a very evil thing took place in Northern Ireland when there was a placing of a known murderer in the high office of joint leader. Joint leader. Dr. Paisley is not more, or was not more. Now it's Peter Robison holds the position. And neither Dr. Paisley nor Peter Robison hold a superior position of authority to Martin McGuinness. The term First Minister and Deputy First Minister might suggest that there is a superiority of authority, but there's not. They are titles of a joint office. The First Minister cannot do anything that meets with the disapproval of the Deputy First Minister, and vice versa. And I would suggest to you that it's an evil thing that happened in Ulster when such a man as this was put in that position. Now, how did he come about that position? By the arrangements made with the Democratic Unionist Party. Martin McGuinness could never have held that office, could never have stepped into that office if he had not met with the cooperation and the assistance of the Democratic Unionist Party. Now, that's an evil thing. That's an evil thing. And it's conceded by them, to their embarrassment, that it is an evil thing. Dr. Paisley says he has never shaken the hands of Martin McGuinness. find that strange and hard to understand, inconsistent. He has called Martin McGuinness his friend. Why would you not shake hands with your friend? He has told us all that it's quite all right for Martin McGuinness to be in such a position of power and authority, because Martin McGuinness represents an organization that has changed its views on all things. It no longer is the organization of terror. It's disarmed. It has a new attitude toward the police. If it has changed, then why would you not shake hands? If he is repentant, why would you not shake hands? I tell you right now that if I believe Martin McGuinness had changed his mind and had repented of his wickedness, I would shake hands with him. But the fact that a great matter is made of not shaking hands is an indication that the people of Ulster are well aware that there's really no change. And while they can go along with the power sharing executive and so forth and so on, the shaking of hands would just be a little too much for them to bear. It's all hypocrisy, really. It's all hypocrisy. Knowing what is evil is important for us in this present day, where the spirit of Antichrist is moving forward and advancing. We must not be caught up in it in any way. We must not countenance it in any way. Keeping ourselves from evil is one of the chief duties of the Christian. That's one of our chief duties. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself from evil. It's what the Bible plainly tells us. God is of purer eyes than to behold, look upon evil. And we who profess to be his followers and be in submission to his will, we must not countenance evil. We must know, therefore, what is evil, so that we give no countenance to it. To speak of the pulling down of a power-sharing government in which Sinn Féin is involved as an evil thing is wrong. That's calling good evil. That's making a most serious mistake. This is an important question because of where evil will take you. That which is evil faces destruction at the hands of God. That's made very clear in Genesis chapter 6, when God looked down on men and saw their wickedness, saw the evil. The evil that those men were engaged in brought upon them God's destruction, God's wrath, God's judgment. And evil will ever bring that about. It'll bring God's judgment. Therefore, I must know what is evil that I might not touch it. I might not have anything to do with it. I might not be contaminated by it. How important a question this is. How important a question it is. Let me take the matter a little further and say that this question is one that has divided men throughout the ages. It's not a dispute just that has arisen today. It's one that men have been divided over forever, since time began. The first dispute between the brothers, Cain and Abel, really was about evil. What it is. Cain believed one thing, Abel believed another. They were divided in their opinions about what was right, what was wrong, what was God-pleasing and what was not. And Cain was so vexed at having his brother Abel tell him that he had the wrong opinion of what was right and what was wrong. He rose up and he killed his brother. And I feel that I would not be too far off the mark if I said that is what lies at the heart of every dispute between men. Differences as to whether a thing is right or wrong, whether it is evil or whether it is good. It's the issue that divided Joshua and Caleb from the rest of Israel. They had gone in, as you recall, in company with 10 other representatives of Israel to spy out the promised land. And the 10 spies brought an evil report. A bad report. A report that basically said, if we try to invade the land, we will get destroyed. Joshua and Caleb said, no, no, God has brought us here. He has promised us deliverance. He has promised to bring us into the promised land and conquer our enemies. Believe God. But almost to a man, Israel rose up in opposition to Joshua and Caleb and would have killed them. Because of the difference of opinion on what was a good report and what was an evil report. Oh, I tell you, it lies at the heart of disputes. It's divided Ulster. Was it a good thing or an evil thing that was done 12 months ago when a power-sharing government was set up in Stormont? There are those who believe it was wrong. Very wrong. There are those who believe it was right. It's divided families. It's divided churches. It's divided churches. I tell you, it's important that we come to understand exactly what is evil and what is good. That we make no mistakes about it. Make a wrong move, make a wrong judgment, and it's likely to divide us from good men. As is the case today. It's divided men concerning the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says in the verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Why was godly Paul put in prison? Why was he tortured, persecuted, counted as the offscourings of the world? Why was it deemed by some people a good thing if he were killed? Why? Because men differed on what was good and what was evil. Men made a mistake and called good, good Paul, the good news that he preached, the good deeds that he did, they called it evil. And they made him suffer as an evildoer. Even as the Lord Jesus was counted evil. It was said of him that he was possessed of an evil spirit. He was possessed by the devil. And all the works that he did by the power of the devil. He was an evil man.
Oh, men and women,
we need to settle this matter of what is evil. Or we could be guilty of making a very grave error, even about the gospel, even about the Lord Jesus Himself.
Even about the Lord Jesus Himself. This is a question. What is evil? That each one of us must personally face. Especially in these times. I've already touched upon that. But let me repeat that these are described as evil times. These are evil times. This is an evil age. And we need, therefore, to be aware of what is evil, what is wrong, and what is good and what is holy. Lest we find ourselves on the wrong side. The Bible exhorts us to do no evil. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 13. There in the verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, now I pray to God that ye do no evil. It was a matter of Paul's prayers. It was a matter so important he prayed constantly regarding the believers that they do no evil. That we keep ourselves from evil. This is not something that is a matter for debate in political circles. If it were solely a political issue, I wouldn't even be bothered raising it here tonight, but it's not. When politicians tell us something is evil, we need to look at it in the light of God's word to decide whether or not they're right or wrong. And if they're wrong, we've got to say they're wrong. And we've got to disregard the guidance that they're giving. This is something personally that we must face up to. Great division, great confusion over just what is evil and what is not. 1 Timothy chapter 6. For the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. You'll not get everybody to agree with that. This is an age in which people love money. We have just been through a whole spate of gatherings and meetings and highly publicized activities in which foreign investment was being sought for Ulster. We were told that therein lay the deliverance of this land, the security, the safety, the peace, the future of this land. Get men to come over and invest money. Now they weren't coming over to act as charitable individuals. They were coming over to make money. They were going to invest money to make money. And there was an inducing in this country of a spirit of a love for money. And that's an evil thing, men and women. There are things we ought to love more than money. And if money can only be made at the sacrifice of principle and right and good, then we should despise the money and reject the money and embrace our poverty and at least retain our integrity. There's plenty of people, since the setting up of Stormont, have lost their good name because of the love of money. Plenty of good people, plenty of men. And they have been held up to ridicule in the columns of the press. Men in Stormont.
because of their attempts to accrue to themselves even more money. Not content with the substantial wages they get and the substantial benefits that are paid to them by way of expenses. They weren't content with that. But they had to go a little further. And in response, when their activities were exposed, they were made to squirm in embarrassment and promise, "Oh, I've set that right, I've straightened that out, I'm not going to do that anymore, I made a mistake," etc., etc., etc. The love of money. It's an evil thing. And this is an age that promotes it. And it's important, especially for our young people, to know what is evil. What is evil? It's a question which only God can answer for us. Please understand that. No human authority, no earthly power can tell you what is evil and what is not. You've got to go to God. He is the grand arbiter of just what is evil. Jesus said, "There is none good but one." That is God. And God decides what's good and what's evil. There's no bias in God toward evil, as there is in every human breast. Every one of us were born with a propensity toward evil. We loved evil. We loved sin. We were sinners by nature. Wind us up and let us go, and we immediately move toward sin, toward evil, toward unrighteousness. Only God can tell us what is good and what is evil. He alone can deliver us from evil. That's why He taught us to pray. The Savior taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. Can't deliver yourself. Because for a start, you don't know what is evil and what is not. Some things are very obviously evil. But then there's other things that it's not quite so easy to discern. The evil that is there. Even as the fish can't discern the hook that is hidden within the worm that floats before its eyes, most appetizingly. And so the devil disguises evil. And we must therefore look to the Lord. And we must cry to Him, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Only God can deliver from evil. Only God has power over evil. Only He is able to conquer evil. The Gospel of Luke, the chapter 7, the verse 21. And in that same hour, He, that's Christ, cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, He gave sight. Only Jesus can do that. Oh, boys and girls, please learn that. Only the Lord Jesus can deliver you from evil. Only the Lord Jesus can keep you from evil. That's why we must cling to His hand day to day. Let me quickly close. The cross. The cross is God's means of delivering men from evil. If you and I are to be delivered from evil, we must get to Calvary. Why? Well, let me read to you from the first chapter of Galatians and the verse 4 of that book. Galatians chapter 1
Verse 4.
Speaking of Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. The will of God is that you and I be delivered from evil. And how was that accomplished? How could such a deliverance come about? By the cross of Calvary. By the cross of Calvary. Oh, let me tell you again. Here's an important question. What is evil? Get it wrong, and you'll be lost forever in hell. This is a day in which it's very easy to be misled as to what is evil because of the spirit that is abroad. It's divided man. The best of men have argued over what is evil and what is not. Only God can settle this matter. And as we come to the gospel, we see in it God's means of delivering us from evil. It's the cross of Calvary. Praise God, the power of the cross will deliver us from evil. The power of the cross will keep us unspotted from the world. And the preaching of the cross will keep a society aware of what is evil. Keep a society aware of what is right and what is wrong. But let us once drift from the gospel. Let us once set aside its precepts and its truths and its proclamations, and we will make mistakes about it. As I believe has been very evident in recent times. It will become more evident, men and women, that the government instrument is an evil thing. I tell you that. Disease progresses and reveals itself in its ugliness. Disease may be concealed behind the appearance of good health for some time, but eventually it breaks through. And we may have seen an attractive tinting of the dormant regime and the declaring of it to be a great thing, the best thing that ever happened to Northern Ireland. But I tell you now, we will not have to live too much longer until it becomes more and more and more evident that an evil regime has been established in Stormont, and it will bring much hurt to this country. May God deliver us from evil for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Oh, please give us an understanding of these things and grant, O God, that the feeble stumblings of man may nevertheless prove sufficient to alert and to warn this land of ours. We do pray for Dr. Paisley. Thou knowest our hearts concerning the man. God deliver him from the entanglements of Stormont. And every other person within that regime that professes your name, Lord, may they hear a call, come out of her, my people, lest ye be partaker of her sins and judgments. We ask these things, O God, in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.